Merkle Media.
Side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed this plane was really low. It went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. If you have a crazy and wild experience you want to share with us from the road, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section. You can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. Leave us a voicemail. If you have a quick hitter story you want to share with us on the voicemail line, that is there for those purposes. So go ahead and give us a call at 515-585-MERK. That's 515-585-6375. Leave us that quick hitter, and we'll play it on the show on a coming voicemail episode. Also, if you want to be prepared in your life for emergencies such as car accidents, traffic jams, tornadoes, hurricanes, world collapses, governmental collapses, go to preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. There you get yourself emergency supply, food and gear, survival gear, all that stuff's right there on preparewithhll.com to make sure you're not caught off guard when stuff hits the fan. Now, this week we got Flatbed Johnny coming on the show, and he was a great chat. He was a funny guy, lots of stories. Let's get to him right now.
Hey, Tony, today we're talking to...
Hey, Dad.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. Today we're talking to Flatbed Johnny. Johnny, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Good. It's good to talk with you. Thank you so much for talking with us. Tony, say hello to Flatbed Johnny.
Hi, Flatbed Johnny. How do you get such a name?
Yeah, well, I just, you know, the stories that I want to tell are, you know, the names have been changed to protect the guilty. It's so, you know, I just put Flatbed Johnny on there because that's what I do. I've always been a flatbed guy. I've never pulled a dry van. Just the way my career worked out.
Yep. Oh, that's just cool. It was cool just to see, you know, Flatbed Johnny. I was like, that's actually really cool. I like that. So,
yeah, it's like we get an email from Flatbed Johnny. We're like, does he drive truck?
Does he drive truck?
Right. And, you know, there's like a hierarchy in trucking, right? So, like, the bull haulers are the craziest, you know, and the wheel turners are the low, the door swingers, you know, and the flatbed guys think they're better than the door swingers, you know, and then the tankers are, you know, in a world of their own and everything like that. So everybody thinks they're better than everybody else based on what they drive.
Yes, that is the truth.
Yeah. And all I care about is driving home.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like flatbed because it gets me out of the truck. I stay a little bit more physically active, you know. I think I weigh even more than I do now if I never got any exercise.
Johnny, if you want to be physically active, have you tried LTL?
I heard that you guys are like lumping a lot of stuff on Kyle Jackson, stuff like that.
Especially as, you know, the new guy on the block, when you come in, they give you the work. So if you're if you want the workout, you know, just
I thought about it.
I see those guys with those dollies hauling beer into places and stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
No. Going up and down stairs and stuff with that.
It's not part of the payment, Johnny. It's not part of the payment.
No, thank you.
Yeah,
that's more than this old guy's gonna do. That's for sure.
Yeah. So, Johnny, man, listen, you sent over a list of a lot of different stuff. And like when we were reading the list, it was like every category of a story that you had was like, hey, that sounds like something that should be on Hammer Lane, you know? Yeah. And so when my dad came over, I said, this guy is going to be a fun guy to talk to.
Yes.
Now, one of your categories here, you called the Three Stooges, and you have several stories on this list that kind of have some kind of tie to Three Stooges and Tweaker D and Tweaker Dumb. And I'm just going to let you kind of paint the picture as to everything going on here.
Yeah. Okay. So I was an Amazombie and I was in Fernley, Nevada. And that's that distribution center.
That is awesome. Oh my.
You know what? You know what I'm talking about?
I'm married to one.
Oh, you're married to one? All right. Yeah. So I was on the docks there, and that DC shut down, and they employed about a quarter of the town. And so I went down to the unemployment office, you know, and I'm standing there. There's a line of 5,000 other people, like, you know, at that place. And they said, do you want to get your CDL? And I said, yeah, sure. They said, well, you know, we'll send you to the truck school. So I was in truck school, and I was working with this. I was in class with this guy named Don McCon, and he was in prison doing year 10 of a 10-year bid for counterfeiting. And his whole thing was that he was counterfeiting money and spending it at casinos and then taking his winnings and cashing it out for real money.
Wow.
You know, and he's like, my cousin's got a trucking company. We should go working for him. You know, so Don Akon is in trucking school. He's going to trucking school during the day, and then he goes back to prison at night. And then you know, that should have been a red flag right then.
But it seems really,
you know, you don't
cool.
know when you start the industry, you don't know. You take the job that you know.
Yep. Yep.
You know, I got the option with no experience, I could either work for the Stevie Wonder Institute for Trucking, you know, to see whether it will fit through, or I can go and work for these guys out in Elko. And the thing about ripping off a casino is like, man, you steal from a gas station or something, they call the cops. You steal from a casino, they take you in the back with the ball-peen hammer.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like, what are you, crazy?
Yeah, they're going to put your head in a vice and squeeze you till your eye pops out or something like that, you know? So anyway, me and Don McCon go out to Elko, Nevada. Have you ever heard of the Elko?
No, I haven't.
Nope, but...
Right, well, people who live in Nevada have never heard of Elko. Elko County is bigger than four U.S. states. It's bigger than New Jersey. And wow. It only has about 20,000 people that live there. And the primary industry is gold mining. And in the 90s, Elko was rated like the best small town in America. And it really was. It, Bing Crosby used to be the mayor of Elko. And he had a ranch out there that was 500,000 acres of ranch and 500,000 acres of grazing land. And so, you know, big operation. But when the gold prices went nuts in the 90s, Elko exploded in size. And the problem, I don't want to say, you know, everybody in the evil land keep out is a bad person. But the problem is, when gold is expensive, every bozo can get a job, right? You can have work. You have to hire every hand. And there's always a biscuit head. You know what I'm saying? I know you got one at your job too. There's always a biscuit head, and it's like the, you know, it's like the boss's cousin, and they're like, ah, keep this guy busy. You know, he's starting to set fires or something like that. You know, like just, you know, keep Jimmy busy over there or whatever, you know, give him a job. And I can tell you the way you can always tell is like when you're, as long as you have a safety guy, that guy is so useless. You know, when the pandemic hit, I was like, oh man, I wonder if my company's doing bad. And then I got this thing from my safety guy, and he's like, here's a lesson that you can watch a video on your phone about how to get in and out of the truck safely. And I'm like, my job is safe. Yeah. Because they're still paying this guy, you know, to send out videos on how to get in and out of the truck, you know. So anyway, there's a lot of these kind of cushy positions up in Elko. But then when the price of gold dips, if it goes below $900 an ounce, it's everybody's is gone. You know, and it's survival of the fittest. So as the fluctuations of that gold market go up and down, you start to get more and more bozos on the job. So I initially started working for Don Akon's cousin, and this guy he was so crooked, like he'd swallow a nail and shit out a corkscrew, if you know what I'm saying. And like, he didn't have a DOT number, right? He had a cousin who worked in the way station in Wendover. And every time he needed to cross the state line, we would wait till that cousin was working. And if we got called in, they would, you know, they would give us the, you know, the wave through or whatever. Other than that, there's no way stations in Northern Nevada. If you're running local in and out of these mines, you know, you're never getting weighed unless you, a trooper brings the portable scales. So you can operate under the radar like that, riding Western, as we called it. And you can be kind of like have unlicensed trucks and unregistered trucks and all this other crazy stuff, you know. And that guy, I mean, he was just, I mean, he was just, they, okay, so he had a friend who had a brokerage firm, and they would pull jobs off the job boards, skim off the top, and then reissue them with the brokerage firm back to the job board. You know what I'm saying? So they were running this operation where they would use the trucking company to accept loads and then reissue the loads under a different name with money taken off the top. That's got to be illegal.
Yeah.
Right?
I'd say it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So they were just running all these scams, and they were always putting sugar in each other's tanks and doing all this stuff. I actually had a guy tell me that he always drank a beer whenever he was running oversized, because if you have a police escort, you never get pulled over, you know? So, you know, they're drinking and driving and all this stuff.
Tricks of the trade.
Yeah.
Yep. Tricks of the trade.
Yeah. Trick of the trade. Yeah. So anyway, I'm working on a paving crew at night. We're backing up under the asphalt grinder, and this other guy's driver backs into me. He's supposed to be backing under the asphalt grinder, but he starts backing around a curve, and he comes around and he backs into my truck. And I was laying on the horn. I'm screaming on the CB. This guy must have had his video turned up way big in the movie he was watching, and his windows rolled up or whatever, because he can't, it's the middle of the night, he can't hear a truck horn behind him, you know?
Right.
And he backed up for a long time too. I kept backing up too. And then I ran out of room, and he eventually crushed into the side of my truck. Well, as a deal, these guys, the Three Stooges Trucking, they fired him and hired me and bought the truck that they had wrecked. So that's red flag number two, that the way I got hired is by them having to buy a truck that they rent. And I swear, I know, you know, this kind of company, these guys, this is two rednecks who found two nickels and decided they were going to rub them together and make a trucking company, you know? and they just, Brian, this is probably before your time, that the semi they had was so old that when the air pressure went down, a big flag came out in front of your face, like a wigwag.
Wow. Yeah. That's before my time.
Yeah. That's all. Yeah. Like that's like a antique, antique truck. Yes, so
we call those museums,
museum pieces. Yeah. Yeah. That's what it was. And so this, you know, Mo had some money, Larry had a truck, and Curly had a trailer, you know, and they're like, we're going to have us a trucking company, you know, and they proceeded to, I was there at the formation of the company or shortly after, they proceeded to lose about $300,000 in 18 months.
Whoa.
So that's their net. Like that's after they've billed all the customers for the work they did. So the way they did it, you know how to make a small fortune in trucking is you start with a big fortune, you know, and then you whittle it down.
That's the truth. I've seen that a lot.
Yeah. So they did this. They just ran. They didn't maintain their equipment. They thought the way we're going to save is that we're going to have bad tires, bad lights, bad fenders, you know, and then you're on the side of the road waiting for an expensive service call for something that could have been fixed in the shop. And then the customer's pissed off and you don't get that load next time and they're charging you chargebacks or whatever, you know. So they just ran everything where they thought they could save nickels. They were losing dollars and saving nickels, you know, like, and it was always a fight and a struggle to say, this is unsafe. I don't want to go out like this. And you're new, you know, you don't know that you have to stand up for yourself. Right. I'll tell you, I hear this come up on your show quite a bit. And I'll tell you the secret is write a letter to HR in writing. And whenever they ask you to do something that you're not comfortable with, write a letter that says, I do not feel that it is safe to do this. And you send it to HR. Once they see that in writing, they think lawsuit.
And then
they go, okay, we'll fix it. You know, you can whine and bitch and moan all you want, and it won't go anywhere until the HR or safety person sees that in writing. And then the boss should have your back. If the boss sees you say, I didn't feel it was safe to do this, and he says, well, get out there and do it anyway, then you need to go on a job search, not on a drive.
Yeah.
You know, like because like that's no way to operate. And what they're doing is they're offloading risk onto the driver. They're taking the profits, but they're putting the risk on you.
Yes.
And business is really all about, you know, risk versus reward and profits. And so that's why the boss keeps the money, is because he put out the risk. Well, what a crooked boss will do is they'll put the risk on you. And you won't realize it because people are stupid. And you know, and they'll just be like, oh, well, hey, you know, they're letting me drive a forklift without any extra pay. I'm a big man around campus, you know. And so, like, you know, anytime anybody wants to hand me a radio, I ask, how much am I getting paid to carry this radio? Because I was getting paid this amount to not have the radio, you know.
Right.
But a newbie is going to be like, oh, they gave me a radio. Check it out. You know, I'm a big man, you know, like, so
they must,
you know,
really, I, like I, me. They must really, yeah, really like me.
Yeah. Yeah. So I kind of learned the hard way. So anyway, Three Stooges Trucking. What we would do is we would run flatbed out to the mines. And so it's usually like you go and you load up some drill rods or some bags of concrete or something like that. And then you drive 150 miles. At 6,000 feet elevation in the wintertime out on some muddy dirt road. And then you go down in a big pit, slipping and sliding down a big spiral ramp, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you generally don't go in the mines because you have to have a higher level of qualification to do that, or MSHA. And so what we would usually do is we would drop the load right then and there, and then we'd get out of there. So it was a lot of chaining up, a lot of taking your coffee pot and dumping it, you know, heating up water and dumping it on your strap binders so that the ice would get off so that you could undo them, you know, stuff like that.
Wow.
And you know, hauling equipment, you know, drill rigs and mixers and stuff like that, low clearance mining equipment. That's what mostly it was. It was always, you come to work every day, they give you a dispatch. And you'd go and you drive down a dirt road for hundreds of miles to every mine in northern Nevada, you know, and then you'd come back, and it would generally take all day, you know,
because
it's slow going and you have to get pulled out by some bulldozer or something like that, you know. So that was what the job entailed mostly. And we did a little bit of other stuff. We did some tankers and some belly dumps and stuff like that. But okay. that was the gist of it. So they had these two guys working for him named Tweaker D and Tweaker Dumb. That's not what their names were. That's just what I was going to call them, because there was a meth head to their madness, if you know what I'm saying. You know, they were scientists skilled in the science of mathematics.
Yeah.
You know? What I'm trying to say is that they were on meth.
Yeah.
And most everybody, because of this factor where, like, everyone who can walk and chew gum at the same time is working at the mines, and they've got good money, you know, and you will never see so many people with, you know, who make $100,000 and have a drug problem. And they got to hire these bozos to come in to do like general maintenance and pickup and, you know, deliveries and hot shots and all that stuff. And that was why I was always working around either somebody who was on meth, just out of jail for meth, on probation for meth, dealt meth, you know what I'm saying? Or any combination thereof, you know? And so it's a drug that makes you stupid. Unlike, I don't know. Heroin apparently makes you a really good guitarist. I don't know. I've never tried it, but that's, you know, or like, you know, maybe cocaine makes you want to make really good movies or something, you know, or something like, or think a bad idea is a good idea or whatever. Meth, for whatever reason, I think it's the sleep death. You're up for 72 hours or whatever. You start having stupid ideas, you know, and it, it just makes you dumb. It cooks your brain to where you think your bad idea is a good idea and you think you're a superhero or whatever. So, like the secretary at the job, she would come in every day. She would pick up the paper and she would read the police blotter. And that would tell her who wasn't coming in for shift that day because whoever had been picked up over the weekend, you know.
Yeah.
And prostitution is legal in Elko. So these guys would get their checks on Fridays, you know, and they'd go on these tears.
Wow.
Where they would go down. And it was a sad, sad situation because they would always be like, oh, she loves me. She's going to quit her job and marry me, you know. And it's like, well, why don't you go into that whorehouse with no money and see how much she loves, you know, like you could find out right away whether or not she's in love with you, you know, because by how she behaves when the money runs out. But yes. So these guys, I mean, I felt really bad for them. They were making a ton of money and they were spending it all down on Third Street. And it was a sad scenario. Not to mention the substance abuse and all that, but so it was a very dysfunctional place. Mm-hmm. But if you live in Nevada and you have a town, if you have a street where all the brothels are, the boss loves it when you take his pickup down there and park it outside the brothel because everybody starts giving him a phone call. Hey, I saw where you are. You know, I saw your truck down there.
Yeah.
I would walk three extra blocks to go to the bar just so I could park down there in front of the brothel. You got to make the little victories when you got no big victories.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. The Three Stooges trucking. Curly, he would drive the truck sometimes, and he did not believe it was his job to do maintenance checks or anything like that. He's like, we have mechanics for that. You know, I'm a driver. I don't check my hubs. I don't look under the hood, you know. And he had a flatbed axle seize up from lack of oil. There's a window in the damn hub. You know, you mm-hmm. can see it. You don't right. even have to like open anything and look in there. You know, it's just like got a little glass, a little plastic window on.
Yep.
And all you got to do is walk around, and be like, yeah, it's there, it's there, there. And what I do is I get out and I check them. You know, and just touch them and see. They tell you not to do that, but I touch them. You know, and see if they're getting hot or whatever. Well, mm-hmm. this thing when it seized. It first of all, it blew all four tires on the axle, right? Because it's grinding them down, boom, and that's what $1,200 right there minimum, right?
Right.
And then when we got new bearings, because the old bearings were cooked, we went to put them on that axle, and that axle was ovalized, like it was no longer round. And this is a 4-inch solid steel axle coming out of that trailer axle, you know, and this. This had seized up with such force with, you know, 60,000 pounds on the trailer or whatever, you know, these big low boys and stuff like that. And that thing was ovalized. And so we ended up having to take the entire axle off and replace it, you know. And I just never knew that physics could do that. And the spindle, when he locked up, it had twisted up like a candy cane.
Wow.
Like, I mean, I just never seen metal do that before. You know, the forces involved were mm-hmm. beyond comprehension. And that's the same guy. I know I said one of the Stooges in my story, but that's the same guy who left a strap on his catwalk and that strap got wrapped around the drive shaft. And these are the big 3-inch straps that we use in flatbeds, you know, uh-huh. big 3-4-inch straps like that.
Yeah.
And he left that sitting down on his catwalk, went rattling down the road, you know, that strap fell off the catwalk. It wrapped around his drive shaft, and then it got sucked into the differential, like through the little bearing, through the little what do you call that? A seal.
Yeah.
Oh. And you would never believe that this was possible, but I had to open up the back of that differential on the semi, mm-hmm. and it was just solid black plastic inside there.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. If you told me that story, I wouldn't believe it. You know, that a 3-inch strap could go in through that seal like that and get sucked in. And then that's the one where it locked up the axle and made that axle spindle candy cane like that. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
And this is all preventable. This is not the normal cost of doing business. You know, this is just people who are just like, not my job, not my problem, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how they lost all that money. because they just, you know, they were buying high and selling low and making it up in volume with that stuff, you know.
that is not a way to run a business, that's for sure.
No. But you know, you see it all the time, and there's always, you know. And then when some terrible accident happens and some minivan full of a family of six burns up, they file for bankruptcy, they go out of business, and then over here their cousin boop, has a trucking company.
Yep.
And he's got those two nickels and he's rubbing them together. He's going, oh boy, I'm going to be a trucker. I'm going to get my truck with the wigwag. Got to get the air going until the flag gets out of my face so that I can go down the road. You know?
Yes.
Unbelievable. Now, you know, I've been working for much better companies since then. I, you know, and it's amazing when you see a functional and efficient company, you're like, wow, this is how they do it. If I point out a problem on the truck, they fix it before I go out over the road. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's a novel idea, isn't it?
Yeah. And I know the East Coast things are a little more strict. We get away with a lot out West. There's a lot of roads where you just don't see anybody. There's a lot of routes where there's no way station in between the routes. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a lot of people who operate pretty Western out there.
Right.
And you got these triple trailers full of hay. They aren't even required to put a strap on there. They put a strap on the first and last bale, you know, and you see big bales of hay on the side of the road all the time where they take corners and that stuff flies off.
Wow. You know?
Because they're going from farm to farm within 100 miles, local exemption. I tell you what, in Idaho, if I'm not wrong, I live in Idaho now. Uh-huh. In Idaho, not on the interstate, you can drive a farm truck as young as 12 years old.
Get
because the LDS, the Mormons, control the politicians around here, and they consider the age of reason to be 12 years old. And there's a lot of farms that need workers.
Right.
I was working when I was a teenager like that, but driving a big old farm truck like that down the road, it's crazy to think of a 12 year old doing that. And to think about how much better he might be than some guy who just got out of his, just got his CDL
right.
And is going down the road for a major company, you know?
Yeah. Oh my word. Going down that, right. Wow. 12 years old.
So many jokes I'm running through my head.
I know.
Yeah.
So many jokes.
It's crazy. It's a crazy industry. And that's what's so different from state to state, how different this is. And yeah, you get out to the Western states, like where you're at, and it is a different world. It's just totally different. You know, the East Coast is like you said, it's a lot more, I don't know what's, you know, way stations and DOT checks. You know, it's just the way it is.
Here's the rules. Let's follow them.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And I can't say that I don't enjoy some of the aspects of the let, you know, the less scrutiny out, you know, I just,
oh my word. Yeah.
You know, I don't have to deal with traffic for the most part. I got a great view out of the front, you know, the window of my corner office.
Right.
You know, and so a lot of times on these desert roads, these 50 there in Nevada, the lonely highway and everything like that, man, you just point that thing towards the sunset and, you know, you don't have to worry about anything. But the downside of it is when you do get to work for some of these crooked operators.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So, you know, we had all these little maintenance guys working for us, you know, and they would do things like, they would do like millwright work. And so I was kind of managing the shop. I would drive, sometimes Tweaker Dumb would drive. He always had, there's these removable mud flaps that, when you're working like a removable gooseneck trailer, like a flatbed trailer, because mm-hmm. it'll kick the mud flaps off the truck. Okay. It'll break them off. So you have this, like the mud flaps will just pop off. You throw them in your back, you know, in your box or something like that, whenever you use this trailer. And Tweaker Dunn was always breaking those mud flaps off because he would never take them off. And then of course, but then every time we drove, he would fling rocks and he would break his own mirrors because the rocks would stick in the big dirt tires and they'd fling around forward and they'd be smashing the mirrors. So pretty much every time he'd come back into the shop, he'd have two broken mud flaps and two broken side mirrors, you know. And the bosses, I mean, okay, here's the reason why these guys wouldn't get fired anyway. one of these guys had a DUI and he had like $7,000 in legal fees. And his boss was like, well, I need you to come to work. So I'm going to pay your DUI fee so that you can, you know, so you can get your license reinstated. You know?
Wow.
So, okay. So this put him in a situation where now he owes this guy $7,000. Yes. And the only way he's going to make it back is through working. So you can't fire him because you won't get your money.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, never do that. Never pay Tweaker D's DUI fees, because then you can't fire the guy no matter what he does.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. That's job security for him. That's job
yeah,
security.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It makes sense for him, you know? Yeah.
Wow.
But so the lady in the office wake up on Monday, look in the paper, who's not coming in. Man, one time a whole crew didn't show up because they came back from a job that was way out in the middle of nowhere, and we told them, don't go over Avalanche Pass. You're hauling a truck and trailer. You're coming back from the mine after a job. And there's a snowstorm going on. You stay on Peaceful Valley Road and do not try to take the shortcut over Avalanche Pass. You know, and they ended up going up there and getting stuck in the snow and then running their engine for heat until the gas ran out, or the fuel ran out.
Right. Wow.
And then a whole crew didn't show up the next day. And all the wives are calling in, you know, where is this guy? Where is this guy? Of course, there's no cell phone reception out there, you know? And the only reason they didn't die is some farmer came along. He was plowing the road just so he could get to his back 40, you know? Some farmer came along in a tractor with a plow on it, you know, and he dug him out. But man, then they all had to explain to their wives that they weren't down on Third Street. The reason they didn't come home that night, they were stuck. No, honey, I swear, I was up on Avalanche Pass, stuck in a snowstorm, you know. And everybody's like, "Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. You promised
no more Third Street."
Yeah. They got a big sign up there that says "Dancing and Diddling." You can look it up online. I gotta
move out west, man.
No. You don't, because these women are well traveled, and I don't mean that they've ever left. But you know, Elko was a mining town in the olden days in the gold rush, and you could come into town, step off the train, you could get a steak, a haircut, a new pair of boots. One of the world's best saddle makers is in Elko. It's like the guy who makes like Ronald Reagan saddles back in the day and stuff like that. You know, you could get all these things, a new rhinestone cowboy outfit. You could get all these things within three blocks of each other.
Wow.
It's set up for that, for you to spend your money. You can go gambling, play some blackjack. You can go down to the Third Street and get, you know,
and find a lady.
Cleaned. And then, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's a town that's designed to let you spend your money. And now, sure, of course, they got the side-by-side dirt bike dealer. The joke is, in Elko, like, if you know you live in Elko, if you have a $7,000 trailer, a $500 pickup truck, and a $25,000 snowmobile, you know, because you got it on credit for your job, and then you know you got that lifted truck, you've got that bass boat, that RV, that ski-doo, that side-by-side with the sound system that they got you for an extra $5,000 for, right. And then you got your snow bike, snowmobile, toy hauler, you know, you got all that stuff, but it's all on credit.
Yeah.
Then the price of gold drops below 900
and you lose all that
out
stuff
on the street.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell you're married in Elko because there's tobacco chew on both mirrors of your pickup truck. Can you see why I wanted to be anonymous on this call? Yeah, because they're going to figure out who I am. They're going to call the boys, come after me with a bunch of baseball bats. But I swear to God, I'll tell you what, anybody listening who's from Elko, you want to know who the Three Stooges are? It's a big old boy who thinks he's a cowboy, but he keeps breaking the spine of the horses that he rides. That's how fat he is. And you'll know exactly who I'm talking about, because every rich man wants to spend $100,000 to try to win a $20,000 belt buckle at the rodeo. You know, they think that they want to be cowboys, that, you know, they didn't make their money in cowboy, and there's real cowboys up there by all means. Right. I mean, there's actual people who rope and ride for a living, but every rich redneck, you know, just thinks like, oh, I'm going to be a real cowboy. And, And that's what they spent all their money on.
Wow.
Horses. Horses, hay burners, money eaters.
Yes, sir.
That's another thing. I don't even think you can buy those on credit. You got a horse trader. So yeah,
that's crazy.
The one of the funniest stories was when Tweaker Dumb made his rap video.
Oh yeah,
do so tell.
They let him live. They let him and Tina, you know her, that white girl. They let him live at the yard, and he was kind of the night watchman. And they had actually, it was a funny story. They told him to go to the mine and you're going to spread salt on all the sidewalks, but it was cold out. So what he decided to do is going to drive his van around and just throw salt out the window, you know, and he's just driving along all the sidewalks, throwing salt out the window. And they're like, no, that's not what we'll pay you for. What we're going to do is, and they do this all the time. What we're going to do is we're going to lower your pay by $2 an hour. And we're going to give you the title of assistant facility manager. And then they'd be like, well, look at me. I'm assistant facility manager with my $2 an hour reduction in pay. And I get to live at the yard and I get to be assistant facility manager. So they'd always, the bigger the title was always the less the pay,
uh-huh.
You know, and at these companies, you know, driver is usually a source of income, right? Driver makes money. I don't know about safety guy. Safety guy is usually the guy who hurt himself, but, so anyway,
that's the truth.
Yeah, because they're like, "What can we do with this guy? We got to keep him away from the trucks."
Yep.
You know, like
he knows what not to do now.
Yeah. Well, and also we don't want him to sue us, so we can't fire.
Yeah.
So you know, so we gotta give him a cushy job, and we gotta keep him away from anything where he can do damage. So anyway, Tweaker Dumb, we had this concrete tower. It's like one of these concrete plants. You know, it's like they come in on a trailer and then they erect it. So it's about 2-3 stories tall. And he decides in the middle of the night he's going to make his rap video. So he's got his phone out, you know, taking a selfie, and he's up at the top of that thing and he falls off. And he laid there all night long. He had ruptured spleen. And it wasn't until we came and opened the gates in the morning that we found him. And he lived and everything like that. But somewhere out there, there's a cell phone video of him like, yo, I got flows. I got skills. I got what?
I want that video so bad. Did he?
Oh yeah. Well, you never released it. I'm waiting for the mixtape to drop.
did he go by Eminem's Blatt?
Oh, and then
world.
And you know that phone
soft
was laying
white
there on
chocolate.
The ground. He's going, oh. Like that must be the bridge.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I swear to God, our safety guy he got that job because he was lowering a load with a crane down into a hole, and the mine requires you to tie off in a harness, and he tied off to the load. And then the line broke, and when that load fell down in that hole, he went after it. And he broke his leg when he landed, and that's when we were like, we got to get this guy away from the crane.
Keep him away from the equipment.
Yeah, keep him. Holy yeah, give him cow. A make him safety manager. He can go around and like check everybody's fire extinguisher and stuff, and be like, where your PPE? Like, thanks. I was going to use my safety squints, but but anyway,
wow.
We did have a guy who hid in the manure when the cops came to arrest him. The one of the guys was run. He, I forget what he did. Okay, we had this board. We had this board that the secretary kept, and it was the ranking on who had the highest bail. So you know,
this is such like a non-traditional working environment.
right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so they would rank you like who had gotten the highest bail. So like one guy like. You know, I don't know. Like there was one guy who like beat up his kids, you know, and then he got this amount of bail, you know, and then like it went all the way up. I think there was actually like an attempted murder over there where the guy had gotten the highest bail. And it was sort of like you'd stay there for a long time and then somebody else would bump you from the top position based on what they did. And it's funny because I have another casino robbery story, and that guy probably actually ended up being the record holder. But this guy, they came to arrest him. He had a warrant. They came to arrest him, and he ran and hid in his manure pile. And he dug in there, and he buried himself. And he figured, there's no way the cops are going to look for me here because there's no way anyone would ever do this, right? But the fumes got to be too much. And he burst out of that pile like, and then they took him away. And that must have been a smelly cop car ride.
Oh, I bet it was. Wow. The cops were happy to get him out. Wow.
Oh, that's what they're like. Hey, you're going in the back of the paddy wagon. Yeah.
Because those fumes will kill you. And you walk, we'll meet you at the police station.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the way it is.
Took him up to the cop car and just walked.
Chained him to the bumper.
Driving 5 miles an hour down the road.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. It is just that living out there has got to be a riot. I mean, it just sounds like it's a freaking hoot. Wow.
Yeah. It's always an adventure. And like, you know, a lot of like they would pay us to hotshot like coffee and rags out to some mine. So we had a hotshot service and they just used it every day. And you would just go around and, you know, collect whatever they ordered. And it would be like coffee and rags. They put their chewing tobacco in the coffee grinds, because if you go to the mine, there'd be two pots. There'd be regular coffee and coffee grinds with chewing tobacco in it. And that way they could get jazzed up on that nicotine and caffeine, you know,
all at the same time. Yeah. Why waste time chewing?
Right. It's like a minor speedball.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And so I would be hotshotting this stuff, you know, and it's either that or it's like you go down to the cat warehouse, the Caterpillar, and they give you like a single O-ring, and this O-ring costs like $160, you know. And then you drive 75 miles down a dirt road to a mine. And when you get to the gate of the mine, there's some mechanic standing there, you know, and he's jumping up and down because that one O-ring is keeping that bucket from swinging. And then, you know, and then it's costing them $40,000 an hour not to have that thing running.
Wow.
You know? So, yeah, it was always an adventure.
It sure sounds like it. Goodness.
So what is this, Tweaker D left his landing gear dropped and got caught.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, back when I was working for the crooked guy, we were doing the asphalt grinding. And at the last load of the night, he would have us take the asphalt to his yard instead of to the county pile, because asphalt's actually one of the most recycled materials in the world. They take those grindings, they mix them right back in with the fresh asphalt, you know, and they put it back down on the road. Mm-hmm. So it belongs to the state when you're doing that, you know. But this guy had us diverting the last load, and he was slowly, load by load, he was paving his yard with this asphalt. So so on those belly dumps, they don't have a traditional retractable landing gear like a normal trailer does. They have a pin, right? You pull the pin, you lift the landing gear up, you put the pin back in. If you get to the trailer and it's not at the right height for you, you deflate your airbags, you throw a log on there, you get underneath it, you lift up the airbags, you know, you reinflate the airbags and and lift up the trailer. You pull that pin, drop the legs down and put the pin back in. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So you had to use the airbags of the truck to move it to the right position. Mm-hmm. It's not a crank.
Right.
Well, this guy, this was actually a different guy. And he also had a meth head to his madness. And he had that pin fall out while he was coming from the dirt yard of the place where we were dumping the asphalt onto the asphalt road. And his pin fell out and his landing gear pad was just kind of floating along the dirt, you know, as they would do. They kind of skim. But when it hit the edge of that concrete, the lip went underneath the asphalt. And he cut a line like a plow in the road for like a block. Because it's pulling, and he's going, I gotta get more cash, you know. And he's just ripping. Wow. Just ripping. Ripping a line all the way down the street. Well, you know what the boss did is he went out there with some of that stolen asphalt and just sort of packed it in that hole, you know. Pat, 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 you know. Hope wow. nobody wonders where this big rip in the middle of the street came from.
Wow.
I worked for another company after that called, let's call it, Des Moines Waterfall. It was a big paper company. Okay. And they actually had a guy ignore a blub that he got. And this story is incredible. He got a blowout and he just figures, well, screw it. I'll just drive to the yard, you know, and he's going down the highway with a blowout. Well, he had aluminum rims and unbeknownst to him, when that thing blew out, that steel fender was coming in contact with that aluminum rim.
Wow.
You happen to know what happens when aluminum and steel are ground together and then ignited to ignition temperature? You know what that is?
What?
That's thermite.
Wow.
That's how you make thermite.
Oh, whoa.
And it's a self-oxidizing reaction, right? So it produces its own oxygen for the flame. So you can't put it out.
Wow.
You know? So he created a thermite fire in his trailer, and when the fire department got there, they spray water on it, it goes out, and then it goes burst into flames again. You know? Wow. And it wasn't until they realized what had happened that they could address the fire properly. You know, you should never ignore it. When you get a blowout, get out and look at it. You know, look and see if there's anything. See if there's a little, you know, Mini Cooper jammed up in there or something. You know, like mate, just look at it. This is all I'm asking.
Yeah, amen, brother.
See? Yeah, because you're either going to leave an alligator on the road for the next guy to run over and rip his fuel line out or something. You know.
Yeah.
Or you're going to beat the shit out of your own fender and your own trailer and bust an airline. And then, you know, and then the other wheel locks up or whatever. Like it's amazing.
Or you're going to create thermite.
Yeah. Or you might be making thermite.
Which might not be a good idea. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
Wow.
Oh my word.
Wow. Well, at least I know how to make thermite now.
Oh yeah. You can do it yourself. You get shavings. And then when you heat them up, you know, you get shavings of both types, mix them together in a pile. When you heat it up enough, it'll burn. It'll burn really good.
Wow.
Now I just got to figure out what to burn.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I want to tell you about the mystery of the stolen batteries. This is a good one because this gets into the tweaker mentality. We were doing a dirt work project. It was when we were building this guy a hockey rink. The boss decided he wanted a hockey rink. So he decided we're going to dig him a pond. It's down by the river. And so we're digging this pond and we're doing this. We have construction equipment down there that's shoveling. And then we're taking the dirt and going out of there. Somebody was stealing our batteries off of the caterpillars. And there's a bunch of homeless people that live down there by the river. And so we figured it was them, but what are you going to do? Every day we'd show up and we'd have a fresh battery and we'd put it on there, you know, and then they would steal it. And then the old batteries started showing up again. So they were stealing the batteries and returning them. And we're like, what the heck is going on here? We thought they were taking them down to AutoZone for the $5 rebate, you know, but instead they're stealing the batteries and returning them. And it was Tweaker D who figured it out. He's like, they're charging their phones. They know if they steal a battery, you're going to get a fresh battery and put it on that tractor. And then they know if they return the flat battery, you're going to hook it back up again and charge it up for them. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. they just take one, whatever's on there every day, you can bring it back the old one. You know, and they're using it. They're using little clips and wires and charging up their phones on them. You know?
Wow.
Yeah. And we just eventually just started leaving a good battery out for them, you know?
It's easier and cheaper.
Yeah, as long as you're going to bring it back. I mean, you know, I got no problem with that, you know? Like, charge your phone, that's fine, you know? But I was baffled with that one. Yeah, it took the mind of a tweaker to understand, you know? Oh, yeah, they're charging a bit.
Oh, my word.
So
that's freaking hilarious.
Oh man. So I want you to finish the hockey rink story because I know there's more to that story.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. This guy is the only guy in the world who wants to make ice and discovers a hot spring. Yeah. We were down there digging we're digging this guy's hockey rink because his kids play hockey and he wants to be able to give them a rink in the wintertime. It's butt as cold in Elko in the winter. You know, it's up at like 5,000 to 6,000 feet. And that all would have went fine, except we opened up a hot spring. We found volcanic activity down there in the mud. It's a very volcanically active area,
yeah.
Right? You know,
yeah, it is. Exactly.
In fact, they got a laundry service there in town that uses that hot water from the hot springs. They like sunk a pipe down into the ground and they get this super hot water that comes out and they use it to clean all the grease off all the mechanics, all their duds. Uh-huh. And so they actually use it to their advantage. Well, this guy found another one of those hot springs when we're digging this thing. And so what you have is like, you're trying to make ice and this water's constantly being warmed and one end of this pond, you know, one end of this hockey rink is like hot, you know, it was crazy. Oh, you know, I could dig 1,000 holes and never find a hot spring. This guy, you know, Larry, he, this is part of also how they lost money. Cause whenever, you know, cause it's like, oh, well, you know, we got a slow week. We don't have any orders. Well, I'll just hire these guys to go down there and dig this hockey rink for me, you know? This drives me nuts. Sometimes we work a 12-hour shift, right? One guy on for 12, next guy on for 12. You're hot seating the one truck, right? The previous guy, the Tweaker D, would never fuel the truck. So he gets a half an hour work more done. You know what I'm saying? He's done a half an hour quicker than I am, right? When I show up and the truck is empty, I have to fuel his truck up and then I fuel it again at the end of the shift. Well, I'm working an extra hour that I'm not doing work. So it looks to the boss like this, like Tweaker D is super efficient and I'm super lazy, because what's actually happening is I'm filling his truck. You know what I'm saying? He's not only wasting my time and looking better, you know, he's looking better for himself. It's taking me an extra hour, you know, just one of those things where it's just like, you know, you were right there in town next to the fuel station. I'm a half an hour away when I get in the truck. So, you know, like you could have just done that. And then this whole company would have worked more efficiently, but he didn't want to do it. You know, a lot of guys, they just want to turn the wheel. They don't want to do nothing.
Yeah.
And I did actually end up breaking down on a country road because the boss was using the truck, didn't fuel it. He brings it back to me and he's like, hot shot right now, go, 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 go. And I just drive out into the countryside and I ran out of fuel and I hitchhiked back to town. And I found that if you wear a safety vest and a construction helmet, people are much more likely to pick you up hitchhiking, you know, because they're like, well, this guy has a job, you know,
but not just passing through.
You can get away with a lot with a safety vest and a clipboard. But by the way, when that asphalt grinder struck me, I forgot about this detail to the story. Uh-huh. When that guy crushed my vehicle, we were on the night shift. Well, this pissed off Larry Stooge to no end, because when he had to fire that guy started going home nights, and Larry Stooge was banging that guy's wife. Uh-huh. So I messed up his little piece there, you know. Wow. And I messed up his whole situation. He hired the guy and put him on night shift. And then he could go over and he knew the guy would be gone for 12 hours, you know.
Wow.
And then as soon as I screwed the whole situation up by being hit by this guy, it was somehow my fault that he wasn't getting laid. You know,
you were in the wrong place at the wrong time.
I was in the wrong place and the wrong. This whole 2 years of my life was the wrong place in the wrong time. And I finally got out of it. I went for working for Des Moines Waterfall up there in Idaho. And my life got a lot better. I just started doing flatbed over the open road and no more mines, no more deep, sticky mud and ice on the straps and all that stuff. It was a nightmare.
It sounds,
but you know, you got to put in that time. You know, yes, what I'm saying? You got to do some shitty job for 3 years before anybody will hire you.
Yes, you do. Although nowadays it's a little bit different. Yeah. Nowadays they're hiring people out of school. They're, you know, because everybody's short drivers now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like out that way, but here in the East Coast, nobody can get out. They just can't get drivers.
Yeah. Bosses are like, so you just got out of school? Yes, sir. And you just got your license last week? Yes, sir. Okay. How about $45 an hour? How does that sound to you?
It's about what it seems like, you know? It's crazy.
Right.
Sounds about
right. I mean, when I was done with school, it was, 3 years and you had to have, get your experience and you see worked for every crappy job and did every crappy job you could do that would give you experience driving. You just did it. Now it's, as soon as you're out of school, you're hired someplace. I don't know what else to say. It's just crazy. Yeah.
We're going to send you in this gasoline truck up around Dead Man's Curve in the icy winter, go right ahead.
Yes, exactly. If you make this one, you're all right. You're good to go.
The trick is when you go around the curve, don't hit the brakes. Actually accelerate. It actually helps.
Accelerate. And if you see those signs that say on the mountains that say, runaway truck ramp, don't go in there. They charge you a re-grooming fee. Just barrel down the mountain and kill people,
it's cheaper. Yeah.
When you're barreling down the mountain, aim high. Plan ahead.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It is just crazy.
So, listen, you have some of these other stories as well. Like, I'm just going to say dead guy, and I think I know where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
I want to hear about this because
these are just other random stuff that happened to me out over the road. Yeah. I saw a guy, I've seen a couple of dead bodies in my day. I saw one guy who rolled over on a curb out in the middle of the desert in Oregon, and he rolled and he was thrown from the vehicle, and then the car landed on its wheels. So nobody even knew an accident had occurred. I think that guy sat out there for a day or so before anybody figured out that there had even been an accident.
Oh my,
word. They just saw a truck parked there, but this guy died at the wheel. And he was driving. He was a very old man. He was driving, probably died of a heart attack or something, whatever. Mm-hmm. Cosmic shit hammer just comes down and hits you. Bam, you're done. It's probably the good way to die, right? Yes. That's what they say.
Exactly.
I want to die peacefully in my sleep, not screaming like everybody else in my grandpa's car. So,
yes, exactly.
So he died at the wheel, and his car just kind of drifted off to the side, and it went scraping down the other cars, like bam, 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 until it finally came to a stop. And it's because his foot must have been on the gas. Well, the weird thing in my head is that the first reaction I had to it was like, I assumed he was a drunk driver, right? My initial reaction was, that is the stillest drunk guy I've ever seen. Look at how still he is. He is not moving. And then I realized, oh, he's dead. he's just dead. And I guess there's a stillness that dead people have, that you can't fake when you're, laying there and breathing and stuff like that. So, and there's also kind of a way that everybody stands around. You can always tell when someone's died because you see people standing around and they're just kind of awkwardly being silent. Whereas normally people are chatting, they're bullshitting, you see them moving their hands and they're talking. They kind of get that feeling like, oh, he dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was crazy.
That was crazy.
And then I saw it snow that one time in July in 65 degree weather over in Utah. We have a little thermometer, in the truck tells us temperature outside,
Sure.
And it was middle of July. I swear to God, I got nothing for your other show. This is the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me. Driving in July, all of a sudden, big, thick flakes of snow start coming down. I look at my temperature gauge. It is 65 degrees outside.
Wow.
And I pull over and I'm like, am I even seeing this? Am I real? Am I tripping? Was there something in my sandwich? And it was snowing. It was just snowing. It must have come from really high up in the atmosphere and come down. It was melting as soon as it hit the ground. But that was probably one of the weirdest and coolest things that I ever saw out on the road.
That is actually really weird and cool. You're right.
It's believable. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
I've heard people talking about that mirage where you can see a city up in the air. It happens on in Chicago a lot on the lake where it will reflect off the lake and you'll see like a city in the clouds. And I've heard of that happening out west too, where the heat gets on the desert. You'll have like a mirage. You'll have like a false horizon. You'll see things up in the sky that are mirages of what's happening kind of over the horizon.
Sure. Sure.
The lensing effect of the air like that, I believe that stuff.
Oh yeah.
But yeah,
it does happen.
That's just the only supernatural kind of thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think there's actually cities in the sky. So.
No. Well, could be.
You never know.
Ezekiel and the fire wheel.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. So,
Listen, you have some of these other stories, and I'm thinking we should bring him back. What do you think, Dad?
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Because we got the upside down charger, bloody guys, belly fries.
I know. I read that one. I was like, yeah.
The ski mask guys, tow truck speeder, Jimmy Whoopin' Chicken.
Yeah, Jimmy Whoop Chicken. Yeah, I just want to give a shout out, Nevada State Prison number 120-6660, man. Stay strong, brother. Next time you rob a casino, don't talk about it on the jail phone. They can hear that stuff. That was my coworker. He was one of my good friends, man. Sorry to see he's gone so low, but, you know.
Wow. Johnny, listen, I think we should bring you back on for some of these other shows or these other stories and stuff. I think it was fun, man.
Oh, my word. This was a blast.
I got to ask you, you have like a microphone set up or something at your place. Do you have a podcast or something?
No. I mean, okay. Everybody's got a podcast, you know, like you're competing against, you guys came out first when I started looking for trucking podcasts, you know, and so that's how I found you guys. It was just like, hey, I wonder if there's a podcast about trucking, you know, I never thought that I had enough stories like that, you know, I'm entering into a crowded market, but yeah, it's great to come on. I mean, I've been listening to you guys. I've listened to every episode, you know, and so it's great to talk to you live.
Well, I'll tell you, man, like it's cool to hear how you found it and stuff, because it's nice to know that people are out there actually searching, because we're not sure like if there are a ton of people out there looking for trucking podcasts, right. and we're actually, well, go ahead.
And people don't realize, you know, truckers listen to a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Like you can make a choice. You can drive along in silence. You can listen to the Willie's Roadhouse, or you can educate yourself. Right. You know, and there are a lot of truck drivers who listen to hours and hours of audiobooks, college courses, you know, podcasts and things like that. And so, like, you know, people don't realize what a market that is. I'm surprised that there isn't more attention paid to the fact that we have all this free time and we listen to stuff all the time. So,
yeah. I think that the whole saying dumb truck driver, like truck drivers. Yeah. Here's the thing, like when you start out driving truck, you're driving, you're listening to radio, you listen to music, that gets old after a while. And, you know, and then you start looking for other things to listen to because you're like, you know, I can only listen to the same AC/DC song, you know, over and over again so many times until I just take a break. And, you know, you get tired of listening to music and things like that. That's the way it was for me. And I just started listening to tons of different podcasts and stuff. And just for me, it helped me pass the time more because
it does,
you know, a song 5 minutes long, one episode of a podcast, an hour, you know, it helps pass.
Yeah.
The
or
time.
4 hours. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And, you know, like I never set out to be a truck driver like a lot of people. It just, you know, pays the bills. People, as long as people are buying toilet paper, you always have a job.
Yes.
I worked through the whole pandemic, you know, and I was one of them, their sacrificial workers that they call them. And, you know, I had a job every single day. I still have a job.
Yes.
And the day my house is paid off, I'm throwing my CDL in the river.
I heard that.
Don't need this anymore.
Oh man,
don't need this anymore.
That's the day I'm working towards, dude.
Yeah.
You always see these people. Oh, I got diesel in my veins, and I got the Eaton Fuller shift pattern tattooed on my arm, and you know, it's always like, man, like I like my job.
Yep.
I like that I don't have a boss. Nobody's looking over my shoulder. You know.
Yeah.
Got the best corner office view in the country. Yep. I always tell the ladies, you know, I drive a $300,000 Mercedes. I travel for work, you know, got a corner office in the building there.
Best view.
But yeah.
Yeah.
But no, man, I'll be ready. I'll be glad the day that I ain't ever driving again. My wife's going to drive me everywhere. Oh.
Believe me, brother. I hear that. That is my life.
I'm going to get one of those self-driving cars. I'm going to be in the back.
Heck yeah. Yeah. I don't go anywhere anymore. You know,
don't go anywhere.
I'm just so tired of driving, you know, almost 30 years of doing this. I'm just tired of driving.
Well, it's like, you know, I swear to God, it's like if you're a mechanic, it's like, oh, can you fix this? Yep. You're my buddy. It's like, you know, I do this for a living, right? Exactly. Like, you know, I charge people to do this for a living. You know?
Yeah.
But it's the same thing. My neighbor's always like, can you back my trailer into my driveway? I'm happy to, you know, so you don't take out my mailbox or whatever. But like, you know, but like, you know, people don't realize. My wife's always like, yo, can you drive? We're going on this road trip. Can you drive? I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah.
I just drove to get here. Yep. I drove 700 yeah. miles.
Exactly. That's just it. Every day it's like this. Every day. So, yeah, I totally get it. I totally get it.
Well, wow. I'll tell you what, Johnny. I think that once you throw that CDL away, you should think about doing some stand-up comedy because you're a great storyteller and you're a funny guy.
Yes.
I think you could take a lot of stuff, make it funny, man. I think you might have a future in that for sure.
It was.
Yeah, I appreciate it. But yeah, I like sitting around bullshitting with my friends or whatever, yeah. but I never figured anybody would pay to listen to me.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. This was a blast. This was a blast. You're just,
yeah.
you're natural just sitting here talking and you, it's great. It's great. I mean, you know, just sitting here talking with you. It's yeah. just been a blast. I mean,
laugh no, the whole freaking time. I love listening to you guys. And I love when you laugh so hard, you start wheezing. yeah, that's my favorite part. When somebody tells some story and you start cracking up. Yeah, no, this yeah. is great. This is great fun. Yeah, I'll sit down and I'll think about all the other crazy stuff that happened to me since.
Cool.
Then. Yeah, I mean, I was checking off a list, so I got stuff here that we yep. didn't hit. And if you send more, we got a whole other episode going then.
Yeah, man, this is awesome.
Yeah,
this was just fantastic. All right. Such a blast talking with you, Johnny.
Thank yeah, you, so well, you guys keep your nose between the ditches and the Smokies out your britches, okay?
You got that right.
Good buddy.
Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, please share the show with your friends. I don't care where or how you share the show. Just share the show if you enjoyed it. Literally the best thing you can do to help this show grow and to help us out with our efforts to give you awesome stuff is just share it with your friends. If you know a trucker, somebody who drives for a living, please send them our show because they really might enjoy it. And until next week, friends, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.